Well, hello there, and welcome to episode number 39 of the Caregiver Cup podcast. It's Kathy Vandenhoevel here, and I am so glad you are joining again this week. I am taping this episode on a Saturday, the Saturday right before Father's Day. I know you'll be listening to this on Tuesday. It just got done thunderstorming here on this Saturday morning, and I'm just about ready to go for my walk. I kind of got delayed due to the thunderstorms, and the birds are chirping loud outside of my open window. So if you hear birds chirping, it's going to be a beautiful day. I wanted to talk about Father's Day. Father's Day for me is bittersweet. As many of you know who have followed me, or maybe you don't know, my dad lost his battle with pancreatic cancer back on April 12, 2018, at the age of 78. I spent the last weeks of my dad's life in his place up north in northern Wisconsin. I call it his cabin or his summer home in northern Wisconsin. The county that my parents lived in up there didn't have hospice support or hospice care. And the nursing services really didn't fit his needs, and we didn't really like the nursing services that they had. So my siblings, which are my brother and my sister and my mom, we all banded together and made the decision to do it ourselves and spend the last, I think it was 17 days of my dad's life all together with him doing what we had to do. What we did is we partnered with the nurse navigator that my dad through his cancer care. She was unbelievable. Her first name is Michelle. To this day, I don't even know what her last name is. And the doctor. And they were able to go ahead and call us daily. And we were able to call them. And we were able to go ahead and maneuver our way through and provide the best possible experience for my dad. I became the project manager and the advocate, doing the phone calls, doing all the documentation, writing down questions, you know, all of that kind of stuff. My sister is a CNA, and so she knew how to go ahead and physically care for my dad, do all the changing and the bed sheets and the positioning and all of that stuff for my dad. She would check his blood pressure and his heart rate and all that good stuff so we could report back to the nurse navigator. My brother kind of traveled in between all of us, helping where he could, but he had the great idea of moving my dad's bed facing the window versus having the bed underneath the window so my dad could be propped up and see the deer feeding outside of his window. And my brother would go get the deer corn and feed the deer whenever the corn bear or the corn tray was empty so that the deer were there pretty much all the time during my dad's last 17 days of his life. My mom was doing what she does well. She would keep everything clean, keep us fed, doing the mounds and mounds of laundry from all of my dad's sheets and clothing and stuff. And then she would be by my dad's side as much as she possibly could. I wasn't in my home for 17 days. And so Dennis pretty much was alone. Dennis is my husband. He just got done with his last chemotherapy treatments, I believe a month prior to it. So he was still recovering somewhat as well. But he did not hesitate to come up 2 times a week, at least dropping off extra clothing or different things that I needed, dropping off a treat now and then, just to check to see how we were all doing. It was just an experience that I'll never forget. But I don't want this podcast to be about the last days of my dad's life. I want to talk about the lessons learned and the things that my dad taught me since it's Father's Day weekend. I was the oldest in my family, and I love spending time with my dad. At the age of 11, I started hunting with my dad. I think I was this tomboy or the firstborn, and I think my dad really wished I was a boy. But I would get up at 4 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday mornings during hunting season. We would drive out, I think it was Navarino, and there was a public forest there that we would drive to in the dark. And we would then walk out to our tree stands, and we would go ahead and each get into our tree stands, sit in the dark until sunrise. But it was so, so beautiful. I think that I learned the most about sitting still and spending time just sitting there, watching things, listening for things, and just deep in my thought. It was just something that I think inadvertently my dad taught me, but I knew that my dad loved that as well. I loved riding in this truck that my dad had. First of all, I could be in the front seat. As a child, you know, you have your mom and dad in a car and you usually had to sit in the back seat. Well, on those special days, I got to sit in the front seat. I remember seeing my dad shift this four-speed on the column with the clutch and driving the truck. I remember just sitting there. And dad would just talk about his memories of his childhood. He served in the Navy and was out at sea, and how important it was for good work ethic. And he would just talk, and we would talk. My dad was more of a talkative person in the morning because he was definitely a morning person. So I remember that as being one of my best memories there. But then as I grew, I worked during my high school years. If I wanted hip clothing or if I wanted to go to this prom and dance camp, I had to pay for it. My parents didn't have money to go ahead and buy any of the extras. So if I wasn't at practice after school, I would be working at my A&W job. Yes, A&W root beer. Both my parents worked, so I had to walk to school to go to work. I had to walk to work. Usually it was after school. It was a big treat when my dad would give me a ride on Saturday and Sunday mornings. It was even a better treat when my dad would give me a ride on his motorcycle. It was just something fun. When he dropped me off, no matter if it was in his truck or the car or the motorcycle, when he dropped me off, he would always say to me, "Have a good night, Kathy," or "Have a good day, Kathy. And don't forget to work hard and do your best." It was like clockwork. He would say that to me all the time. Then, if I fast forward through the years, he walked me down the aisle on my wedding day. He was a spitting image of Kenny Rogers. And at that time, Kenny Rogers was the big thing. He had the beard that looked like Kenny Rogers, the kind of the grayish white hair. People would stop us in stores to say, "Oh my gosh, you look like Kenny Rogers." On my wedding day, he wore shiny, shiny cowboy boots, and he had this brown three-piece suit. Both my mom and my dad walked me down the aisle, one on each arm. I remember my dad squeezing so hard and shaking at the same time. He never, ever liked being in the spotlight. He never liked to be the center of attention, nor did he ever like to speak in public. That was one of the big differences between my dad and I. My dad was more of an introvert, and he loved to just kind of be behind the scenes. Fast forward again, he was a nervous grandpa, especially with the tiny babies. I remember handing him my firstborn and my secondborn, and he would be like, "Oh, I just," and he would, I'm kind of holding my arms up, and he would just hold them like he was a stick. But then when they grew up and they grew into toddlers and young children, he would get right down on the floor and play Legos with them, or he would go outside and run around with him. He would do those things, but he was just never a baby grandpa. He didn't like that. Now, let me fast forward to the day that, or when my dad was 58. At 58, my dad had a stroke. He had a pretty intense stroke due to hypertension or high blood pressure. I remember grieving the loss of my strong, muscular dad, and I watched him being a person who couldn't speak. He lost all of the feelings and the mobility on the left side of his body, and he couldn't speak. And so he would stare at you, and he was in the hospital for weeks. And then after he was released, he still had outpatient therapy for many more weeks. He had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to eat. I remember going in there seeing that they had to put a bib on him so he wouldn't spill on himself. He had to learn how to walk. So he went through speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. He even had to retake his driver's test. Think about that. You know, 58 years old, I'd be scared to death to have to go through all of the process of a written test and in an instruction test. Oh my gosh, he did all of that. Lessons learned here for me is that he did it. He pushed through and pushed as hard as he possibly can to get to his new normal, because he never was the same physically, because he always walked with somewhat of a, he dragged his left foot, and things weren't always perfect for him. But I remember just thinking about, and this analogy comes to mind, or this statement comes to mind, when life throws you lemons, make lemonade. And when life throws you rotten lemons, you have to try to make some sour lemonade anyway. And he did. He did. Now, I'm fast forwarding again through my dad's life. He actually, at the age of 62, I believe, he made the decision to retire early because his dad had liver cancer, and his dad lived in Arizona. And so my mom and my dad physically moved to spend the last year of my grandpa's life, or his dad's life, with him to take care of him through his cancer battle. He always told me that he didn't have the best childhood, since his dad, when he was born, had to fight in World War II. And so he doesn't remember a lot about growing up, especially those younger days. And then when his dad came back, he was still transitioning from the World War II. And then I know that I think his dad was pretty tough military as well. But I know my dad had a wild side. He would tell me so many stories. And there's just this one that just kind of just talks about my stubborn dad. He was teased a lot in school, and somehow the kids got a hold of his shoes and took his shoes off. And so I'm thinking it was kind of maybe a bully situation. And so the teacher then found the shoes and had them in the front of the room and said, "Hey, whosever shoes these are, you need to come and get these." My dad wouldn't go get the shoes. He was so mad at the kids. He didn't want to go get the shoes. So he walked home from school in the snow without shoes on. That's kind of one of my dad's stories. Oh, and obviously he told it better when we were sitting in the truck and we had that quiet time together. But my biggest memories of my dad were after his dad passed away and my mom and dad decided to move to their up north home and use that and officially retire and enjoy life. Well, I would go up there and spend days up there, sometimes on the weekend, sometimes during the week. Dennis, my husband, would come along sometimes, and sometimes I would just go spend time with mom and dad by myself. My dad and I would always find time to go fishing, and it was our best time. He had a canoe and then he had a fishing boat. So depending on the river or the lake, we would use one or the other. We would spend hours fishing, and he would always ask, how are things going, Kathy? He knew that I wanted to achieve more and more, and he always was the one saying, "Take care of yourself, Kathy. Are you doing too much?" And in my analogy, filling your cup, he was telling me. I would share my struggles and my drama of the world, and he would just listen. Then he would ask me, "What's the worst thing that could happen in that challenging situation?" I would tell him. He was the logical one. He was always the quiet, reserved one, unless he had a few brandy and cokes. Then he was a little more talkative. He would always bring it back up. "Are you working hard, Kathy? Are you challenging yourself?" But then the question would always come, and it would always shock me. He would always ask me, "Are you happy? Are you enjoying the little things of life? That's why I always talk about embracing the little things. He was the one always asking me, are you enjoying the little things? Because he would tell me, if you don't, things just move by so fast. And stop wishing for something in the future without embracing the little things. And it was just something that I would always, always, always remember. He would always say too, it's okay to fall flat and make mistakes as long as you learn lessons from them. To wrap up this episode, I want to share with you, just kind of recap with you, the five lessons that my wonderful dad taught me. And that is, embrace the moments is number one. Embrace the moments. Find joy in the little things. My dad didn't have a ton of money, or he didn't even like the extravagant things. He made the best of everything that he had. And I remember one time growing up as a kid, and we didn't have a lot of money, and everybody was going on these extravagant family vacations to Disney World and all of these camps and all this kind of stuff. My mom and dad must not have had very much money at that time. So we took a bicycle trip. Yes, a pedal bike trip. And all five of us, it was my brother and my sister and myself and my mom and dad, we packed up our bike, we had our backpacks, we tied tents to the little pop-up tents to the back of our bike tires, and we went on this trip, and we bicycled up to what was called in Wisconsin, Door County. Wisconsin, for those of you who don't know, looks like a left-handed mitten. If you looked at your hand from the backside, and you looked at it, Door County was the thumb. And where I lived was at the base of the thumb. And so we bicycled and we biked and biked and biked. And we just used that as our vacation time. So again, embrace the little things, right? Number two, my dad taught me, is to sit with yourself. I loved my time with my dad alone. Those hunting and fishing days are still cemented in my mind and will be forever. We slowed down without phones. At that time, we didn't have social media, especially when we were hunting. We didn't have phones. And we just enjoyed the peace and the quiet. It was just nature. It taught me about my thoughts and what to do when it's quiet. The woods can be a beautiful place to think. I still to this day remember the smell. If I smell woody scent, it brings me right back to it. The ruffling of the leaves on the bottom of the tree stand when the squirrel or the chipmunk would come underneath, it was just peaceful. Okay, number three lesson was face your challenges head on. Dad sure did that with his stroke and his pancreatic cancer. He never gave up on his disabilities, especially of his stroke. He fought to get his body, mind, and spirit back to, like I said before, a new normal. And then he embraced the new normal. Even in his last days of his pancreatic cancer, he refused to settle down. And to be honest with you, it was very unsettling for all of us that were watching him. He continued to ask to get up out of bed with his swearing cuss words. He did not want to rest. He did not want to sit down. He wanted to keep fighting. And I think that that's his Navy veteran in him. He was a fighter and a stubborn man, but he was this amazing man. The words that come to my mind with my dad is he had no regrets. And I think that just gives me chills. The number four lesson that my dad taught me was work ethic. Oh my gosh. That was no joke in our home at growing up as a kid. You had to make your bed. You had to do the dishes. You had to do the chores. And if you didn't do them right, and if you tried to go ahead and do them half butt or half ass, he would go ahead and call you out on it and he'd make you do it over. Yeah, he had high achieving behaviors and expectations of us, and you never, ever, ever didn't do something. I think that was his military in him. He would just go ahead and run that. He would say he was running the household like a tight ship. Thank goodness for Mom. She had a little bit of a softer heart for us, but Dad expected a lot for us. Number five, the lesson that I have is make time for yourself. I am a lot like my dad because I'm an introvert and I like my downtime. My mom is the opposite. We talked about her being this social butterfly in past episodes, but my dad would always know if I was feeling stress just by looking at me. And he would ask me, what am I going to do to take a break? He would always ask me, he would say, work hard, Kathy, play hard, but make sure you rest. And then from my dad, he would say, early to bed and early to rise. And then he'd have this statement after, and I don't even know what it was, but he would always talk about getting your sleep and really can't burn a candle from both ends. So those are my five lessons learned. As you think about or thought about this past weekend, Father's Day, maybe your father has passed away. I hope you find just a few little memories that you can continue to carry with you. Or if your father's still around, give him a hug, talk to him, ask him to share a memory because they love sharing their memories. You can't hear enough of them. I wish I would have asked my dad more and more stories so I would have more and more things in my back pocket. But those memories that your dad or you have with your dad are pretty darn special, the good, the bad, and maybe even the ugly. So thank you for listening to me share a little bit about my dad. His first name is James. He received his wings again on April 12, 2018. But I still hear his voice. I still see his smile in my memory if I close my eyes. Occasionally, I hear his laugh and his fun jingle of his keys on the hip of his jeans. He would always have this big clip with his keys on the end, and I could hear him coming up and it would jiggle on his pants. I am so proud of the daughter that I became because of him. I am so proud that I was able to be one of his caregivers. I am so proud to hold those memories close to my heart and now share them with you. So thank you for listening and have a good rest of the day. Bye for now.